What if the details of Jesus' crucifixion were written hundreds of years before he ever walked the face of this earth? Mocking crowds, pierced hands and feet, garments gambled away, all predicted in stunning detail, then fulfilled on the cross. In this short devotional, discover how Old Testament prophecy and New Testament history collide at Golgotha, and why it all points to a Savior who died for you today. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. If you haven't checked out our websites, I want to encourage you to do that today. There's a lot of great resources that you could use for Easter about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and appearance. So we're going to dive into our Easter series. And if you enjoy these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside of that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. You're helping us accomplish our goal, which is to change our hearts so that we change the public square. And we know that you make that possible. So thank you so very much for your generosity. Whether it's $5 a month, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100, it doesn't matter. We are very excited that you are partnering with us. So we're going to go through this weekend on Good Friday. And then on Saturday, we're going to look at the burial. And then on Sunday, we're going to look at the resurrection. We're going to go through this series and just check out the story of Jesus, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And the reason why I want to do that is I want to show you that these things that happened to Jesus, or that Jesus went through, I should say maybe more accurately, they were predicted hundreds upon hundreds of years ahead of time. So let's read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garment back on him and led him away to be crucified. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, who they pressed into service to bear his cross. So let's see about this in the Old Testament. Let's go to Psalm 22, verse 6. So we're going to go back to the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of years prior to Jesus being on site here. We're going to see in verse 6 this. "But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." So do you think him putting them putting a purple robe, a mocking of Jesus, a sneering of the people? It says, "All who see me sneer at me. They separate with their lips. They wag their head, saying, 'Commit yourselves to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him.'" So we see that this is a prophecy about Jesus, a worm of a man, a reproach of men, despised. And so that's exactly what we see in Matthew. Now, if we go over to verse 16, it says, "For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots." We're going to see that on the crucifixion, just a little bit. All right, let's go to Isaiah. We're going to come back to this, so I better mark it. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 50 and look at verse 6. These are very interesting verses, 50 verse 6. "I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out my beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting." Did you notice that? A lot of this is what was described. Now look at verse 14. It says, that's actually chapter 52, verse 14. It says in 52:14, "Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations." And so we see that this is what's happening in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 27, we see that this was prophesied about being mocked and sneered at by those around us. Now let's go back to Matthew and let's look at the crucifixion. Matthew 27:33, it says, "And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments," didn't we just read that, "among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put a charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads." Did we not just read about some of this? Wagging their heads. Look at that. "And saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from that cross.' In the same day, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him and saying, 'He saved others, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now. If he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him." Do you see how he's surrounded by people insulting him? "Now, from the sixth hour of darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. Above the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, 'This man is calling on Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and, taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on the reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, 'Let us see whether he is Elijah, will come to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split and the tomb was opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things which were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.' Many women were there looking out on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee." So let's go back and let's once again look at the Old Testament, that story of Jesus being crucified in the Old Testament. This is where people try to say the Old Testament is nothing like the New Testament. Nah, it is all here. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Did we not just read that? "Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning." Look at that. We're seeing the crucifixion in the Old Testament. Now, 22, verse 14. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of the earth. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all the bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots." There it is again. So we see, now let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 8. It says this. Look at this. Isn't this amazing that God's word predicted this? "By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for the generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of many people for whom the stroke was due." So we see that this is where Jesus is. Now let's go to Zechariah 12:10. These prophecies about Jesus. 12, verse 10. "I will pour out my house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. So they will know that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one who mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping of a firstborn." Wow. God saw all of this. So as you're waiting on God, as you're understanding God in these moments, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins. And if you have not placed your hope in Jesus Christ, what a better day to do it. There's no better day to do it than today. Today is the day of salvation. Place your trust in Jesus, your hope in Jesus, all of your desire.
You love our
Jesus
beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone?
Heavenly
it can
Father,
feel like an uphill climb
sins.
In a hostile environment that
we
champions causes detrimental
and
to Washington families.
Holy Spirit,
again and again, the summit feels
go
out of reach,
in all things.
But
God,
you don't have to climb alone.
Your grace
with like-minded people fighting for Washington
Thank
families
you for
by your side,
being
the journey becomes not just possible,
in Jesus name.
But powerful.
Amen.
Go out there the Defender defend app, biblical values brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard